Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. 34 After, thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. And I'm very excited about our next guest. And you're going to be too. Because he's my favorite French economist since Frederick Bastiat. And that's been 150 years ago since I knew Frederick. Guy Zorman is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's back. One of my favorite members of the Brain Trust. He is he's an incredibly welcome and fresh voice of in the European clutter of economists over there. He's the author of Economics Does Not Lie, and he's our good friend. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
It's good to have you back.
You don't mind me
comparing you to Frederick Bastiat, do you?
Well, I have a lot of admiration for Frederick Bastiat, of course. And Frederick Bastiat nearly disappeared in France. It's really Milton Friedman who rediscovered him and had him be again in the United States.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Guy, one of the things that you've been doing lately, I wanted you to report for us a little bit, and that is a trip that you made to China.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about what you found in China and who you talked to.
Well, I just spent 1 week in Beijing. The purpose of my visit there, and it was not easy, not easy to get a visa first. And then I wanted to meet, of the political prisoners in Beijing. We have to know that after the Olympic Games, all prominent fighters, Democrat leaders, and people fighting for free religion, they all went to jail for between 10 and 12 years, and usually isolated with no external contact. They are not allowed to read, to receive the newspapers, or to watch TV. So I know them for a while, and I have a lot of respect for these people. They are the equivalent of the dissidents in their time.
Right.
And
right.
We have to support them, and I went there to see their wives, and I will write about that and to try to bring some support, some money, and to explain to the world what's going on in China.
China has got a lot of explaining to do with their human rights behavior, don't they?
Well, yeah. China also is extremely good at propaganda because very few people, very few media, cover this aspect of China. We are talking about the economy, but we are not mentioning the thousands of people who are in jail just because they want to express themselves. The situation, once again, is very comparable to the Soviet Union, and I think we should trade with China. I have nothing against that. But we should also, support the people, our friends there. We are friends there. We are fighting. And they want the same kind of political and religious freedom we have in the West.
Well, the thing that's interesting, though, you compare China to the Soviet Union, and I think that's a good comparison. But there's one place where we make a distinction. In those days, Russia was not becoming an economic power.
Sure,
it was a military power.
Yeah,
and it was starving its people to death in order to accomplish that. It was forsaking its own economy on behalf of its military. But this is where China and the Soviet Union diverge, I think, Guy, because China is becoming the economic power quickly of the world, not just a military power.
Yeah.
And that makes it a different story, doesn't it?
Yeah, you are right to a certain extent, because in the 1950s, the Soviet and the Sputnik and what they did, so they weren't so bad. But values, I would believe in human rights. And yep. we have to consider that the Chinese people, you know, they are individuals like us. You know, they were our brothers and sisters. And this is why, I mean, you know, this pervasive feeling and stereotypes in the United States that the Chinese are not like us. They don't know what freedom is about and they don't want yep. liberty. And this is just rubbish. I mean, they are just yeah. like us.
They are. In that way, is absolutely. Geese, hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick. It's 20 till. Geese Ormond is our guest. His book, which is one that I highly recommend to you folks, is plain English, written by a Frenchman. How about that? But it's plain English. You can understand it. If I can understand it, you can understand it. I promise you. It's one of my favorites. Economics Does Not Lie by Geese Ormond. And over here, we would call him Guy. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Down to the crossroads, down out on my.
Welcome back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you, talking with our Guy Sermon. Guy is one of the great economists of the modern era. He's the author of Economics Does Not Lie. He writes for City Journal and also is a distinguished fellow with the Manhattan Institute.
Right.
And Guy, tell us how we can find you online.
Right. ManhattanInstitute.org.com. .org.
Yeah, and it's Manhattan-Institute.org.
Yeah,
right?
Manhattan-Institute. Yeah, or yeah. City or cityjournal.org.
City-journal.org.
Right.
One of those.
Yes.
And they can find your writings there. They can find your book wherever books are sold.
Sure, my books and my columns and my articles. You find everything on the City Journal website.
Yeah, so check that out. Guy's just talking to us, folks, about his trip to China. A lot of people in the West don't realize that the oppression that's going on in China right now. Talk to us about the entrepreneurship opportunities in China. Are there if a Chinese wanted to start a business
yes.
from scratch over there, what would be their prospects?
It's very simple. You go to the local Communist Party leader. The party leader says, okay, we'll support you. And you can't start anything in China without the authorization of the Communist Party. I mean, it's a kind of a...
And you got to cut them in on the profits.
Of course. And
so this is like... Yeah, this is like a mafia or something.
Well, I think it's a kind of a mafia state, if you want to understand what China is about.
Wow.
But then, and they, okay, you have to cut, you have to share the profit, but they will support you. And if it's a bigger business, for example, you say, well, I need a land, I need energy, I need 1,000 workers. And
right.
the Chinese Party guy would say, okay, we'll take care of that. And they will bring the workers, they will give you the land, they will bring... electricity, and if it's good for China, it's good for the party, and
right.
that the way it works. But of course, the system is a mafia-like system, and corruption is huge.
So it's not a true market economy. With I mean, over here, we can come and go as we please.
No.
We can start a business. We can fail. And you know, and it's
different system, and also for a small entrepreneur, so he can start his business with the party authorization, support, and sharing the. If it's a big businessman, usually all the leading companies in China do belong to the state, or to the military, or to the Communist Party. I mean, no. Very big companies, I mean, they're all state-owned. So when we talk about capitalism in China, I mean, this is absurd. I mean, it's a kind of a new system. I wouldn't compare with anything which existed before. It works to a certain extent. It doesn't work for everybody, but it works. I mean, it does
have results. Do you know John Nesbitt?
Yeah, of course I do.
You know, he's written a book called China Megatrends.
Yeah, I think he's a bit too optimistic.
He has a different take on China than you do.
Yeah, but I think John is really kind of, I love him. He's kind of a bit optimistic. And, you know, I spent so much time there. It's very difficult to get in the details in China and to understand really what's going on. You meet an entrepreneur. The entrepreneur will never tell you how much he gives to the party. Never. He will never tell you the conditions under which he operates. So John,
I think one of the things, Guy, that we should point out. My friend Ted Fishman wrote the book China Inc.
Yes,
and he on this show. I asked him I said something like, I probably said something like, "Will China ever play by the rules?" Meaning, you know, our ethics, our approach to liberty, etc., our way of trading, free trade. An honest trade, that kind of thing, not stealing our intellectual property. You have to understand something. In the future, China will make the rules.
Well,
what do you think about that?
I would say they will never respect the rules because they consider that they are our rules and not their rules. When you talk to the Chinese entrepreneurs about intellectual property, they say, well, intellectual property, this is imperialist invention. To prevent us from growing. So they want to change the rules, and so far they don't respect the rules. Now, will we follow their rules? You know, in the Chinese economy, it's not a creative economy. There is no innovation in China. Basically, the success is based on subcontracting. You buy a smartphone. The smartphone is designed in the United States. It's assembled in China. You buy a car. The car is assembled. But I'm still waiting for the day when we'll buy something which has really been invented in China. And I think
that's a good point.
That's the limit. And it's very important. There is no innovation because there is no liberty. And I think without liberty...
That's a very interesting point about the invention thing
this
there.
This is fundamental.
I agree with you. That's a very interesting point. Well, the way the financial situation is going with all of our... A lot of people are worried about that. Hold on to that thought, Guy. We're going to take a quick break, folks. I have a topic I want to ask Guy about when we come back after these messages. 10 till the hour.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.